Welcome to your home for sports coverage without the bias. This is Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen. We do have episode 131 for you this week. We're getting into the dead time, Kellen.
Yeah.
The dead time, the dog days of summer, but not really summer, the sports year. Because
of May.
Of May.
Actually, PBR World Finals are this week, Josh.
Yeah, you were really on top of that. How are ticket sales going, Kellen?
Very, very good. Good. Very well. We're pretty much sold out for the last Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, Sunday. So good luck finding tickets for that. I would go on Ticketmaster if you're interested, because you're not getting them through PBR Direct.
I will not be doing that because I'm going to celebrate Mother's Day this weekend. So,
I could do both. Yeah. Actually, my mom's on a cruise, so I don't even have to do.
Wow. You lucked out on that one. Congratulations for your mom being on a cruise. That's awesome. Really happy for you. But anyway,
for me too.
Let's get into sports. We're going to come up with some fun things to do throughout the summer to bridge this gap in no great sports. But right now we do have the MLB still kicking. Pirates have gone into a little bit of a skid. Let's start with that. I mean, they won last night to break the losing streak. They're getting injured. Everyone was hurt. Everything was sucking, and the offense finally stopped. So I said multiple times, I don't care if the Pirates lose games. Their offense is still really fun to watch. They can lose an 8-7 game all day, every day. As soon as I said that, they started losing like 10-2 games. And their offense just went away completely. We're closer to O'Neal Cruz coming back. That's a bonus. But we're still in first place. We go on a huge skid.
Yeah.
We're still in first place. So I'm not going to apologize for the Pirates. They are who I thought they were, and no, they're not. They're actually better than who I thought they were.
They're definitely not. Yeah, wait. They're so not what I thought
they were. And I'm going to enjoy watching it. They got the Rockies. They beat them 2-0 last night. We got to get the bats going. Nothing better than altitude to get the bats going. We're going to see these balls are going to be flying tonight. I don't know. It's getting bad.
Josh, it's not like. I want the Pirates to do well, but at the same time, misery does love company.
Yeah.
And you guys played the exact same teams on your like losing streak that the White Sox played in our losing streak. Like you went Tampa, Toronto. We went Tampa, Toronto, Tampa. So that's why our losing streak was just a little bit longer. But I mean, the AL East is so tough right now.
Yeah,
because you have those two teams who are world beaters. They might be the two best teams in baseball. They might be. I think the Braves are up there as well, but those are my top three.
Yeah.
And then you have, I mean, the Orioles are way better this year. The Red Sox have been super hot. And the Yankees are the worst team in baseball currently, alongside the Mets.
Yeah, the Yankees.
Super enjoyable for baseball fans.
This is the longest into the season the Yankees have ever been in last place. I think it's at least in a long time. Judge,
it's a fact. It's a fact.
Aaron Judge coming back is going to help, hopefully.
Arson Judge.
You would think him coming back is going to help. It's very fun. It is very fun for me currently because I've mentioned this before. I do happen to work with some like Tigers fans and everything, but sprinkled in there, one Yankees fan. And do you know how much fun it is for Pirates and Tigers fans to come together and talk about how they are higher ranked than the Yankees? It's a lot of fun. It's very fun. Yeah. I'm not as big. Like, honestly, I think you've made comments. I've said it many times here. I'll pull for the Yankees. They're like, I don't know what. Like, it's because of my uncle. And he was Yankees
Uncle
fan.
Adam.
No, not he's Pirates. Uncle Bruce, dad's side.
That's the only uncle I know.
Adam would be the Pirates. And
okay.
So I don't mind them. Like, I'll pull for them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind them. They're not like every other team, like the Dodgers, all those others across sports, like those big teams, Cowboys. I love hating them. I don't know why, but the Yankees, they're the exception. I don't really dislike them, and I will root for them just because people get so bent out of shape over them too. It's a ton of fun. But yeah, Yankees are looking to get back on track. They are.
Yeah, great. I mean, they don't have the pitching right now. It's like with they signed Carlos Rodon this offseason, and I don't know what's happening there with him, but he's basically said he's healthy. He's just not right, which I don't know what that means. I hate when athletes do that, when they're like, I just need to clear that. It's like Zion Williamson with the Pelicans. Like, I'm healthy. Why are you telling the media you're healthy? Why are you saying that if you're not going to play games? I don't understand, especially the New York media. I think Carlos Rodon might have gotten his bag, and he's just okay with that now. I hope so, because he's a White Sox, and I just don't want to see him be good on another team either. But the Yankees, they don't have pitching depth at all. It's been Gerrit Cole, and then, I mean, Nestor really hasn't been that great this year. It's been okay. Their bullpen's been disappointing. Their offense has been disappointing. It's really not that good of a team on paper, depth wise. If you look at it, Rizzo's been good. Judge needs to get healthy or whatever he is wrong with him. I don't know. I assume he's hurt. He's just always hurt. And then outside of those three guys, Cole, Judge, and Rizzo, nobody's performed to expectations, and I'm not sure that they will either. That's what's really concerning me. There's a lot of question marks.
What you've just described there is basically they are the Pirates structure of like one pitcher that's okay, not really any other pitching. You don't really know what you're going to get from the batting order, the bullpens, but they're paying like 17 times as much money for that. And same, like, you can compare them to like the White Sox roster with, you have all these holes that these teams that like are on the lower end of payrolls have, but like you're paying 17 times as much for it. So,
well, don't let the White Sox off the hook, because the White Sox are 11th in payroll in baseball. Okay. They have dedicated most of that payroll to the worst bullpen in baseball. So I don't want you to let my team off the hook.
Okay.
They do pay their players, and they're awful still. So
it feels great
over here.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but it's a good comparison with the Pirates, because actually it's not even a good comparison with the Pirates, because the Pirates are better than the Yankees right now.
They are.
So like it's not even like they're getting the same results as the Pirates. They're getting worse results, and they're paying 10 times as much, unfortunately.
I just need to bring up the fact again that the Pirates are like good.
I'm totally, when we're talking baseball and you bring up the Pirates, I'm totally okay with it, because I got no problem with the Pirates. And also that's the only way you could possibly think about baseball is relating it back to your own team. It's the only way it makes sense to you.
There's no other possible way I could do that. Oh, what's his face? Who, the Cubs guy that went to the Cardinals? What's his name?
Oh, Wilson Contreras. Yes. He had a big game last night.
Oh my God. That was,
yeah.
I don't, recency bias, but that might have been, go look up the highlights on social media, because that may have been one of my favorite athlete homecomings I've seen, like recently at least, because he goes to the Cardinals, you hate the Cardinals, then he gets introduced, and like even, you know, players that like matter to an organization, usually when they come back, they get the standing O, they maybe get the tribute video, whatever. I haven't seen like as much of a mixture of boos and cheers as he got when he was introduced. And then he starts popping off. And
his whole thing, it stems back to the off season, Josh. Because I mean, well, first off, Cubs Cardinals, second biggest rivalry in baseball, I would say, after Yankees Red Sox. And it's currently at a pretty, it's peaking right now because of Wilson Contreras. In the offseason, when he made the switch to the Cardinals, he basically said, yeah, you know, I like this franchise more. It's just a better tradition, which is just true. It's that's 11 World Series. It's just a fact. Okay. Say Cardinals are better than the Cubs.
Yep. Say something nice for Dave. Cardinals are better than the Cubs.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. I'll say that all day. That's an easy one for me. But standing, yeah, I mean, so he talked a little smack on his way out of Chicago, which obviously rubbed Cubs fans the wrong way. And he should be like, first off, I have no problem with him saying that because the Cubs made him a bullshit offer in the offseason. Yeah. Like, you can pay your franchise catcher $15 million a year, and he's still in the prime of his career. So I have no problem with what Wilson Contreras did. I also don't have any problem with him getting booed. I just love seeing a good villain in sports. And yeah. I love that the Cubs think that they're not the villains because they are.
I know.
The villain is the Cubs, and Wilson Contreras is just egging them on, and he's being heroic.
Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, if you watch it, he gets introduced pregame. There are some boos. There's some cheers. He does the hat tip. Very civil. Then he just hits a single, I believe, up the middle.
Yeah.
And he starts getting some boos. And so he starts, like, egging them on. Then it's a close game. He hits a double off of the wall. So, man, if that thing would have gone out, that would have been probably the trip.
That's a home run in any other park because I think the wind was blowing in at Wrigley.
How
slow? Because he crushed that ball.
How slow of a trip he would have made around the bases would have been fantastic. But he just gets to second base. It's a double and just starts throwing his hands in the air, just letting them give it to him. He's loving it. And like you said, he played the villain perfectly. It was a ton of fun to watch. And it was a good sports moment because I love I love athlete homecomings, and it's even better when you get like when it's over a contract dispute, if they go to a rival, and then when they come back and perform well, those are the best. Like, this wasn't just booing right off the bat. This was like then he comes out and he gives it right back to him. So it's up there.
Yeah, he's one of those athletes that also does just perform better when the lights are brighter, and that's definitely a situation that it was too. Josh, we do need to, because we are a T's and P's podcast.
Yep.
We do need to say a quick prayer for God. Frank the Tank's health.
So
the Mets are abysmal right now.
Yep. So
they got swept by the Tigers.
Not only Frank the Tank's health, but my personal health. So I've said, like,
wow.
I haven't been on, like, Twitter and everything, but I was in the office the other day, and my coworker's on Twitter on his computer. He's scrolling through, and I see Frank the Tank, and I was like, nope, stop. We're watching this. This was right after the Tigers win again. And this was one of my favorite videos I've ever seen. Starts out just like any other Frank the Tank video. Then he picks up, and, like, so funny, he picks up a short bar stool, like a very short one, and he starts carrying it, and he acts like he's going to throw it. It's all like in slow motion. And then there's like one of those.
But no, this is what are you talking about, Josh? He's moving like a ninja out there. Okay. Like, he's moving as fast as he could.
Yes. And so he's so mad. And then there's a mannequin there, like the martial arts mannequins, like the one that's a body that you would hit, practice karate and stuff like that. So there's one of those there. He hits it with the bar stool, knocks it over. Then he starts like curb stomping this mannequin, just shouting out different names. Starling Farte was fantastic. And he's just like, and then he's out of breath. So I am, the reason that you need to pray for me and other people is I literally like was in pain laughing. I laughed so hard watching this video that like I thought I was going to like have some long-term cramping or something going on, and it was hysterical. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Quite the ab workout to watch that video. So I'm ripped now, by the way.
And the reason you need to say a prayer for Frank the Tank is because you could tell by the end of the video he had continued that rant, he would have had a heart attack.
Yeah,
he would have died, and he was so. Like, the Mets are killing this man, okay? Be Be nice to him, Mets. Win some games for his health. Okay? Also, this is your biggest fan out there. This is the number one guy who holds you accountable more than any other fan.
Yeah, I'm about to critique a multi-million dollar company right here, and I'll let you steal this idea, Barstool. You can steal it.
Okay.
You're literally partners with Whoop. Put a Whoop on Frank the Tank and track his heart rate during these things. Track all of this, blood pressure, everything. You're literally, you have a sponsorship, or you had one at least, with fitness wearable company. It would be hysterical if you could do a side-by-side of these videos with the Whoop metrics and Frank the Tank. There's a brilliant idea. There, find a better idea. That's a fantastic idea for you. Not that you need
Well, not only is it hysterical, it's just good for his health, okay? We need to track this guy because he is 400 pounds. And he needs to be okay. I need him in my life as much as possible. Any other baseball news before we shuffle on to some hockey news, Josh?
No, I don't have any other baseball news, I don't think.
All right, well, since I'm the hockey guy then, I mean, do you want to start with playoffs or the draft lottery here that just happened?
Let's start with the people that actually win. So we're going to talk about playoffs.
All right. That's fair. So I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one blow.
Things. So anyway, second round of the playoffs is going. NHL, I don't know what you're doing with your scheduling. I'm not going to go down this rant again. I feel like I have this rant all the time. They completely screwed up all of the scheduling. Like, I get 2 days for travel if you're Toronto going to Florida, but then why are there 2 days between games in Florida? That makes no sense.
They switched to ESPN and they took the NBA approach with their scheduling. It's sickening.
You shouldn't have two schedules. Like, you have four series going on, two a day. That makes sense. You shouldn't be doing three and one, two a day. And then if you're doing don't start it at like 9 o'clock Eastern time. Start it earlier. So anyway, big things. We got the Dallas Stars. They're kind of getting run out of town by an expansion team right now, and people aren't really talking about it. But
it's 2-1. It's 2-1. And with Vegas doing it just a couple years ago, it's not a big deal if it happens with Seattle, I don't think.
Well, Seattle's a lot worse than Vegas was. But, like, also
– I don't know enough about hockey to have a counter-argument for that. Sorry.
Also, I just would like to point out, for the sake of our guest who maybe is listening to this, the best goaltender in hockey gave up 5 goals in the third period. Nice.
So you admit he's the best.
Nice. The best. Well, currently in the playoffs, I thought he was the best, but
you admit that he's the best
in the playoffs. Currently,
you just said he's the best though.
In the playoffs. Yeah. Currently, yes. Yeah. But you didn't give up 5 goals. So, in the third, that's bad. Other big takeaways. So that series is 2-1. Staying in the West, you've got Edmonton and Vegas. And this one,
Vegas.
God, we're gonna have two expansion teams in the Western Conference Finals, and it's gonna ruin my entire life.
You know what, Josh? You hate success of other teams perhaps too much. I'm going to put it out there.
I hate fraud teams.
So then let's
fraudulent franchise.
Let's backtrack. Why do you dislike expansion teams? Or hate them?
They have no history. And they come in and they act like
so?
What? Because it drives me crazy because
why do you need history?
Because you can't be such a great hockey town and, oh my gosh, they're so into this when you know nothing about the sport. Like, you just can't. It's a joke.
Who's saying Seattle's a great hockey town?
ESPN. Every single time. Every single game I'm watching, they're talking about this every single time. that's where the hatred comes
from. We can chalk up all of our problems in sports to ESPN.
It's ESPN. I'm not even gonna lie. And so whatever.
Oh, I believe you. That's a valid excuse for sure.
It drives me crazy. And what I would love to see, because ESPN would hate this, even though it's not even on ESPN, it's not going to happen now. But if we had two Canadian teams playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, that would be the greatest thing for me ever. Ever. Because TNT, no one in the States is watching this. Like, people in Florida and Arizona are going to watch it. Outside of that, no one cares. But won't happen. I'll talk more about that later. Yeah, so the Oilers are now down 2-1 despite Vegas losing their starting goalie in last night's game. Then they just pumped the Oilers. Up until last night, one thing about the Oilers, though, their best players were their best players. And you would think, yeah, that makes sense, right? That shouldn't be anything new, like your best players are your best players. Dreisaitl had 4 goals and a loss. McDavid, you know, he's been playing out of his mind. They've been playing really, really well. They're not losing because they're star players, which is what you want. Now, the reason I make such a point is I talked about Boston last week, and I talked about Patrice Bergeron and everything, and how they weren't the best players. I was high on the Maple Leafs, and I'm going to come out right now, and I'm going to say I was wrong, okay? I thought the Maple Leafs were going to be 2016 Penguins. I thought they were going to be like, yes, this weight is lifted. Let's go. They are getting...
Hey, it felt like their year. I was sold too. I think everyone was sold on that.
They are getting curb stomped by the Florida Panthers. Now, when I watch this series, there's one thing the Florida Panthers make you do. They make you make mistakes. They are very good at, they're going to make you turn the puck over. They're going to make you rush. They're going to make you do things. There's a difference between those little mistakes where it's, you know, you force the puck, whatever, and just complete boneheaded. You never make that mistake. It's an automatic play. And that's what the Maple Leafs are doing. So they're compounding the mistakes and errors that the Florida Panthers force on you because of the style of hockey they play with just being incompetent hockey players. And it is turning into a bloodbath of a series. So I've honestly thought this series had a lot more puck possession than the Tampa Bay series, but both ways. But there's also been a lot more chances off of the rush. Like, I felt like the Tampa Bay series, it was kind of chip the puck, go get it, chip the puck, go get it, stuff like that. Now you're getting some rush chances, things like that. Matthew Tkachuk is unbelievable. He's so fun to watch. That line with, it's Reinhardt, Tkachuk, and Bennett, I believe. They are one of the best lines in hockey right now. They will beat you down, and they just beat you, like, they dump the puck, they go get it. They're fast, they're physical, they can do it all over the ice. And Toronto has no answer. They're just sitting there and they're taking it. And the biggest thing for me, I will get up here right now. I've had a lot of enlightenment watching these playoffs. I have seen Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang play a lot of games together, each of them over 1,000 individual games. I've seen a lot of it, okay? I've seen a lot of playoffs. I've seen a lot of heartbreak. I've seen more heartbreak than I've seen winning. The one constant in all of that, Crosby, Malkin, and Letang were the Penguins' best players. At all times, in every playoff series, they were always their best players. They were always noticeable. Even when you lose a series, because you're not going to win them all, your best players can still be your best players. The Toronto Maple Leafs have John Tavares. I think he's injured. That one's going to come out. I really think he's injured. John Tavares, William Nylander.
Has to be the way he's playing. He's been a no-show pretty much the whole playoffs.
And he played 3 minutes in the first period of the last game. He has to be hurt. Or Sheldon Keefe.
Yeah, definitely hurt.
Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander. Awesome. And they're doing nothing. Austin Matthews is the biggest fraud of a superstar in sports. I've never seen someone cower so much on the biggest stage. He's doing some defensive stuff, okay? There is, for a pure goal scorer, he's not even getting good looks. He's had like one good look at the net. He's not doing anything to get open. And if you go in, I mentioned Leon Draisaitl, you look at them, they lose a game, he scored 4 goals. He was upset with himself for not playing better. You go over to the Maple Leafs locker room, zeros across the board for their star players, and they're like, yeah, well, there's just some things we got to clean up. Like, whatever, it is what it is. They don't care. They're not good leaders. They need to blow it up now. If you're the Leafs, blow the entire thing up, because I don't know what you do. You're maybe going to get swept. I have a hard time believing they get swept, but again, it's the Leafs, and they've mismanaged everything. Coming off of 2 days rest, John Tavares plays 3 minutes in the first period of a game. That's ridiculous. It shouldn't happen. And the Leafs are just playing bad. And like, as a Leafs, if you're a Leafs fan, you have to be so frustrated that your best players aren't doing anything at all. Sam Lafferty scores goals for you. Like,
hey, Blackhawks legend right there.
Former Penguin too. So like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean,
he's a stud.
Yeah. He's playing really, really well. Like,
shouldn't be your best player.
You need depth, guys. But yeah, no offense to Sam Lafferty. Like, I remember, I'll forever remember Brian Rust, Max Talbot, their goals. You know, Brian Dumoulin, all those goals that depth guys scored. Well, Rust is now a top six, but at the time, depth guy. All those goals that they scored that were huge goals. Things get opened up because your star players are still good. There's about 10 other things that, like, you know, it's just Crosby being Crosby. That happened. Like, and I've always gotten that. I've always gotten to see it. And it's very frustrating because you watch the Leafs and you're like, you want to see this. You want to see Austin Matthews. And like, if you're ESPN, you got to be mad. You can't even sell Austin Matthews because he's done nothing. You wouldn't even know he's out there. It's bad. And if like, I don't know if this even counts to make it to the second round for the Leafs if they get swept. I don't know. I don't think it can.
I don't know if it does either. You're right about that. Like, this is going to be just as bitter, if not more, of a loss than all their first-round exits, because you finally got over what felt like was, like, you're getting over the hump. But just to get – I mean, if they get swept, absolutely, that's demoralizing. I don't know about blowing it up just because there's so much talent, but you need to change the coach or something. Big changes have to happen, not small ones. Blowing it up is not – that would be a massive change.
I'm going
– that's my degree of change, but
– I'm going –
you got to keep Matthews and Tavares, right?
Mitch Marner needs to be gone.
Mitch Marner?
Marner needs to be
– I mean, that's a massive change.
He is a heck of a player, but I think you got to do that. Like, it's going to take something like that for him to finally be gone, and – I don't know.
They've also had years where he's the only guy that showed up in the playoffs for, like, it stinks because they've had all these first round exits. They've had all these first round exits before, which means they've had very unsuccessful series. But like this, they've had maybe one guy show up. Like Mitch Marner has shown up before, but obviously it's not working now.
I don't know
the solution. That has to be so infuriating because, like, what even is the solution to having a team that on paper is, like, it could be considered the best in the league? Like, top to bottom.
They're like, good.
How do you fix it from there? Add more talent? They already have all the talent.
Yeah. Like, Conn Smythe winner Ryan O'Reilly's also on this team. People maybe forget that.
Yeah.
Even mention him, he was the guy that I thought was going to be the piece that fixed it. And it's just, they're bad. They can't win. I don't know what it is. They might actually be completely.
Is it just, are they just cursed?
They might actually just be cursed. I don't know. Like, it's inexplicable watching this team because John Tavares is injured. I know it's going to come out when he's done. There's no way he's not hurt. He's looked not even like he's old, but he looks like just a complete shell of himself. So I have no idea. I don't know what to expect, but it's going to be.
Well, Josh, do you think any of that Do you think any of this Austin Matthews going away is stemming from the fact that he just doesn't want to try anymore? He wants to save himself because he's going to be a free agent in two seasons, and he wants to join Connor Bedard in the Chicago Blackhawks?
No, I don't think so.
I think there could be some of that to it. But just
this thing called the salary cap. There's also this thing called, I mean, you can do that, but do you really want a guy that, so basically what you'd be doing in that situation, Kellen, and we can get more into this, is so you're taking a guy on a star-studded team that
wait. Before you even start, are you about to do math on me here real quick?
No.
Okay. All right. Continue then. This is a lot.
Here we go. Guy. Yeah.
This is looking like math already.
Austin Matthews, star-studded team. Been to the playoffs, been really, really great many, many times.
All in one hand.
Didn't win. Over here. Star-studded roster, potentially. Yep. So you just move him from one star-studded roster to another star-studded roster. He's still the same player that's done nothing. Do you really want the same player that's done nothing? That's all I'm saying is at some point like if Matthews was their best player every single time and he's scoring six goals like Leon Draisaitl is, that's a slam dunk for anyone that wants him. But like in that situation, do you really want to, because if you already do, I know this is a complete hypothetical and you want to talk about it and we're going to talk about it here shortly, but you do think
Austin Matthews is currently trying then?
No, he's trying.
Well, then maybe we just need to get him to try.
So I think he's trying to play hockey. I think he might have hurt his hand in the last game too, but I don't think he's trying to tank is what I thought you were saying. I don't think he's.
No. I don't want a tank, Commander. I don't want that. We already successfully tanked. We did it.
So the tank
is over. We're good now.
Carolina's up 2-1 on New Jersey, and we had the NHL lottery. And I would like to just point out, you're an idiot if you didn't think it was going to go the way that it did. If you're Gary Bettman, he's such a loser. This is so rigged. It's completely rigged. The league has been just in bed with, like, they're obsessed with the Blackhawks. They are. It's just how it goes. The league is obsessed with them. They're absolutely obsessed with them. So here are your options going into the draft. The bottom three teams, and I'm going to let you go. I need to just say this, and then I'll let you
go. Yeah, no, go ahead. Yep.
Your bottom three teams here are the Anaheim Ducks. Oh, let's go put the next star out on the West Coast where no one's going to be able to watch him play. Columbus, who has been awful and is a small market team. They fit like 5,000 people in their building. It's 18, or it's like 16, but small market team. Or the other one would be Chicago, who just let both of their star players walk away for some reason because they didn't want them to be Blackhawks for life. So they let them both go.
Taves had long COVID.
And the league he's going to play again. The league again, like,
I hope not.
He's going to. But the league's just sitting there going like, oh yeah, let's just, that's convenient. That's really weird. Why would, like, of course they're going to put him in Chicago. Like, you didn't even need to watch the thing. So Bedard is now going to go to the Chicago Blackhawks. I would like to remind you before you go on your rant, now I'm going to shut up and let you go on your rant. Takes a lot more than one player to win a championship, and we've seen, especially in this sport. And if it was as simple as one player, and Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews were as great as everyone says they were, the Blackhawks would have won every Stanley Cup for the last 17 years. But everyone that watched soccer knows you need to build around it, and you need something there. So go ahead, Kellen. You have Connor Bedard. I will shut up and try and knock it down.
All right. You're 100% right. Takes more than just one guy. Look at the Oilers. I mean, they have two MVPs on their team who are at the peak of their game, and they still can't do anything. But Obviously, the draft was rigged, and I'm happy it was, of course, as a Blackhawks fan. But it's silly. First off, it's silly of the NHL and irresponsible of them to not rig the draft for the Blackhawks. And some points that Josh brought up earlier, but also for the fact that everybody already thought the draft was going to be rigged. So if by chance the Hawks had the third best shot of landing Bedard in the first place, if by chance they did land Bedard, everybody was already going to say it's rigged. So you might as well just rig it to begin with. Okay. That's my two cents on that aspect of it. And another thing I would like to do is just give a big round of applause to all 31 other NHL teams who have never done anything wrong and have no skeletons in their closet, because that's a huge point that a lot of people were liking to bring up yesterday too. So congratulations. You guys have never done anything wrong. That's awesome. You have perfect owners, perfect GMs, perfect players, top to bottom. Your organization is flawless, top to bottom. That's huge. Wish I could say the same thing about my organization, but at least we have the number one pick. We have Connor Bedard. It is so unbelievably easy to be a Blackhawks fan, Josh. It's just so easy. We get three cups, and then, a couple down years, whatever. They're like, oh, wait, Gary Bettman's just going to give us the best player in hockey. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. We've completely cleaned house. We have a new, we have the best prospect pool in the NHL once we draft Bedard. And things are just looking up in Chicago. The team's been bad for too long. Like, I listen to, Bears podcasts all the time, and people are on those podcasts are saying, hey, finally things are starting to turn for the Chicago Bears. Finally things are starting to turn for the Bears. It's been since 1985 since the Bears have really been relevant. And then I listen to, Blackhawks podcasts, and they're, saying the same things. Finally things are starting to turn around for the Blackhawks. I'm like, we haven't only been irrelevant for, 2 years here, and we haven't won a cup since 2015. That's only 8 years. Let's not worry too much about this. But, man, it's felt like a long 8 years. It really has. I'm so happy they rigged the draft for the Blackhawks. And that's the starting point. You know, we have some good prospects already. Now we got Bedard, the best. The best guy since McDavid, they're saying, which is, that's high praise for a young, talented guy like him. And he looks like he was just born to wear that red sweater. I'm very excited about it. So congratulations to all 31 other NHL teams. You're going to get some great first-round picks, whatever. But especially congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks. This is a franchise-changing day for us. And really excited about the future. It's just so easy being a Hawks fan. It's so easy.
You realize
it's the easiest, it's the easiest thing
ever. You realize it did take 7 years for them to win last time they got a good player. So
Oh, but we still won?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, then I'm okay with that.
I mean,
I just don't want to watch bad hockey anymore.
You're saying that you're going to.
It's been 2 years of bad hockey. Going to.
And yeah, also,
but I get at least there's a level of excitement. We have the best player. We have we got the best guy since McDavid.
You don't have the best player in the NHL. You have the best.
I know. Pick. Yeah, I understand that.
I know. I'm also you never watch bad hockey because you just don't watch the team unless they're good.
Yeah, I do.
Just like every other Blackhawks fan, because they don't even know team exists until something good happens.
See, you're just mad because you're not a Blackhawks fan. That's where all the jealousy comes from with all these other opposing fans. They're just upset that they're not Blackhawks fans.
Can you explain to me why?
I understand because you're missing out.
I cheer for the team that's won more Stanley Cups in the salary cap era than any other team, and you think I'm jealous of you?
Yeah. I do.
Why? Because I want less cups?
No, because you want Bedard and you want to have all the success and accolades that go with it. It's okay. It's okay to be jealous. Just don't displace that jealousy onto me, okay? I just don't need that negative energy.
I'm not jealous, but I would like, I'm not jealous at all. And if you would like, I can compile you a list of all of the great hockey players that have never won a Stanley Cup. And I can also paint you the picture of the Edmonton Oilers over the last 10 years when they've had every single one of these kids come through their organization and they haven't won a cup. So pump the brakes a little
bit. Yeah, but if you think the Chicago Blackhawks are run like the Edmonton Oilers, that's just a mistake. We've won three cups.
A different group since
2010.
I've seen here has traded away every good prospect they've had and just tried to be bad. So
every good prospect we've had, name 10. Name 10 of them that we've traded away.
Well, Kirby Dach, Alex Brinkett. I don't know. Like, you can keep going off those guys. I mean,
DeBrinkett's not really a prospect if you played like 5 years in Chicago. So I don't know about that.
You've also got rid of Panarin. You traded Kane. You've traded, you know, you're letting Taves walk. That's another big one. The Bears. What's going on with their stadium? Because like
the Bears will be moving to the suburbs. They're moving to Arlington Heights, certainly. Like,
I hate the dome, man. They can't do a dome.
I hope they make it retractable, but that does defeat the purpose because it's just like they're just gonna have it closed during cold weather. So
it's stupid. Yeah, they're playing a dome.
I know. Yeah, but because if they stayed at Soldier Field, they would be putting a roof on it. Like the whole reason they're moving is for it to be like a multi-purpose venue.
I know
that the city can use, or it's not really the city; it's Arlington Heights. So like you know, they can host Final Fours and concerts and everything there, and have just a massive stadium for it. Where they can't do that right now, so.
But I feel bad for you, Kellen, because in a couple of years, the Bears are going to have a quarterback with the middle name of Skyler and a dome over their stadium. And that's just not
Is that Justin Fields' middle name?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's tough. You can't,
I wish you didn't tell me that.
Like both of those, you can't like that. Those are just two tough facts.
He says he would prefer to play indoors too, which is, I mean, like he's from Georgia, so I get that. But, yeah. I wish you never told me that information.
Like, that I sucks. Heard that. That really sucks. Like, man, you can't come
whatever.
Back.
Yeah. Well. Enough about Chicago. Let me just at least mention what's happening in the NBA, and then we can run into our segments and then just call it. Does that sound good?
LeBron James.
Cut out my F-bombs, by the way, and all that shit. I don't care. Cut out whatever you want to cut out.
LeBron James.
But
LeBron James.
Yeah, the Lakers are up 3-1 on the Warriors right now. Draymond is throwing the series for LeBron. He loves him so much.
Yeah.
And Steph is the only guy that's really showed up for the Warriors at all. And he took a bad last shot last night. The Heat are up 3-1 on the Knicks. The other two series, Nuggets and Suns. And I'm trying to think of the other East series. Oh, Boston and Philly. Those are tied 2-2.
Philadelphia.
Booker's been great.
Yep.
I think Boston's going to win that series just because, like, looking at how how exhausted Joel Embiid gets by the fourth quarter.
Out of shape.
I just don't think they could do it. You can call it out of shape if you want, but he's also just a massive human being, and it's tough to move around for 48 minutes.
Come on. You cannot pass up the opportunity to call a dude that is in, like, way better physical shape than you could ever dream of being in. I'm not saying that as a diss on you, but, like, as fans – guy that's in way better shape than we could ever dream of being in, out of shape. It's one of the best parts of being a fan, so we have to call him out of shape, okay? You have to sit on your couch.
Yeah, okay, so...
call him out of shape.
I think Joel Embiid is just too out of shape to win that series.
Yes.
He just doesn't have it in the tank. He's lazy and out of shape, and yeah, he's no good lazy person, can't do anything right. And the Philly's going to lose that series because of that, because James Harden is also a lazy piece of shit. Yes. We didn't say the piece of shit part about Joel Embiid.
Well, James
Harden. He's lazy.
Now, James Harden, you can
that on there. He probably is. He's probably not a good person.
I feel like Harden's a lot closer to the fitness level of the average fan. So,
yeah. For the strippers in Philadelphia's sake, I hope the 76ers win that series. But if they don't, you know, maybe take up another job. That would probably be better for you anyways. So that's what's happening in the NBA. I don't want to get into it too much just because the Lakers have just pissed me off so much. They're so deep. Their team is so deep now. I just don't even want to think about it right now. But they're looking really good, and I'm getting really nervous. But whatever. We could throw it to our segments.
Okay, but don't you think reverse?
I don't want to talk about the NBA.
Reverse 3-1, though? Wouldn't that?
I would love that. Awesome. But, like, Clay has been a shell of himself this series. Jordan Poole is nothing. He's just providing absolutely nothing. I mean, their second best player this series has maybe been, like, Andrew Wiggins or maybe even like Jermichael Green. I don't know. It's only Steph that showed up every night, and that's what's infuriating. Whereas the Lakers, it's like a new AD has not shown up every night. He's shown up three of the four nights though, and their bench is insane. Like Rui and Lonnie Walker going off in the fourth quarter last night was just unexpected, and he's had a great season. And then you have good guard depth too. D'Angelo Russell, Dennis Schroeder, they've been playing great. So they're just really set depth-wise at like every position. So I don't like that. That was their biggest problem earlier in the year, and they addressed that and have become the best team record-wise in the NBA since the trade deadline, since they made all these trades. So, and they didn't give up a lot to get those guys either. So that's why I'm very concerned. There still might be other better teams out there. I think Boston is really good. I don't know about how they match up against the Lakers, especially in like a series where they didn't look so good against Golden State last year. But we'll see. We'll see. Whatever. I'm over it. You want to do segments?
Yeah, I don't want Boston to make. If LA is going to make the finals, I don't want Boston to, because.
I really don't want a Celtics Lakers finals. That's what the NBA wants so bad.
No, they do. When the Celtics lose, I want to be able to enjoy it. So.
Yeah.
Boston Sports Radio.
Yes, that's. I want to tune into that as well.
Yeah.
Let's jump into segments here then. Let's start out with our coaches of the week.
Okay.
Josh.
My coach of the week is going to be, you might sense a theme here on some of these. Sheldon Keefe of the Toronto Maple Leafs, because you're an idiot. You're just stupid. I've talked everything I talked about earlier. You're stupid. Don't. Everything you're doing, don't do. You're so dumb. I know more than you, clearly. Yeah. I'm on my couch. Idiot.
Do you know more than him? Because our big conclusion on how to fix it was we don't know.
Well, in series, yeah, we don't. Oh, my God. The Pirates are terrible. God, they're so bad. Oh, it's a routine play. But, yeah, we don't know. But blow it up is the answer. Yeah. So, Sheldon Keefe.
At least get rid of that guy. Yeah,
Okay, I could. Now, I'm as qualified to be the Maple Leafs head coach as he is, because he's doing nothing.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. My coach of the week is Denny Crum, former Louisville basketball head coach, and he just passed away. So that's why he's two-time national champion. One of the greatest coaches of all time. Just giving him his flowers right here. Paying my respects. Let's go with tweet of the week. Josh.
My tweet of the week is,
oh, you're off Twitter.
Frank the Tank. I am off Twitter, but it's the Frank the Tank rant. and then him yelling it. Oh my god! Him getting into arguments with fans. We didn't even talk about it, and I don't want to dwell on it too long. But him getting into arguments with fans at games. I don't know why I've never thought about that until that video. But before he even started yelling at the guy in front of him, there's a video of him where he yelled at the guy in front of him. The guy next to him was just so confused. Like, it was...
They don't understand Tank. Yeah,
I don't know, but him actually yelling and arguing with Mets fans is fantastic. So...
imagine being the season ticket holder who bought their season tickets right in front of Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
That would suck.
It would be miserable.
Like, yeah, this dude's like, I just dropped thousands of dollars to watch this miserable team play, and I have to listen to this guy just scream at them the whole time also, and how much he hates every player that I love.
There is also a select few that would pay more money to be able to sit in front of Frank the Tank.
Like, I would be in that group. Yeah.
Sit in front of him.
I'd like my life savings, whatever I have in my bank account, I would pay that to sit in front of him.
Be great. Easily.
I'll just be homeless. I don't care. It's fine with me. My tweet of the week goes to Bob Huggins, and it's not a tweet that he tweeted out this week, but it's relevant to what's happening to him right now. This is tweeted out in 2020. He said, I want to thank my friend Tom Brenneman for traveling over to Morgantown and speaking to the team. His message isn't one of excuses, but one of accountability. It takes courage to confront mistakes head on and believe our guys learned that from, and I believe our guys learned that from his time with us. Tom Brenneman, as you know, is notoriously for dropping the homophobic thing on air. And then with the, he had the Nick Castellanos apology video as well, which is just lived on famously forever and forever will. And Bob Huggins just went on West Virginia or Cincinnati radio this last week and said the exact same thing that Tom Brenneman did, which is just very ironic. So did not learn from Tom Brenneman's mistake, and he might no longer be the West Virginia Mountaineers head basketball coach anymore. It's been a good run, but it's not it's not official or anything, but there's definitely going to be consequences.
West Virginia, I would imagine there's consequences. Men's and women's basketball coaches in the same summer. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they're going to, I think Bob Huggins is not going to get fired if I had to guess, because I think he would have already been fired. Cause it's not like a Chris Beard situation at Texas where you got to kind of wait for investigations and everything, see what actually happened. Yeah. It's like, no, he said this on radio. That's what happened. We all heard it. It's just like, do West Virginia fans care enough, and do their donors care enough? And no. I don't think they do, which is why I think he keeps his job.
Yeah. I don't think they're
too. We'll see. It's just ironic that the
Tom. Oh, that's painfully ironic. We love ironic.
Yeah. Josh, who's your player of the week?
Who is my player of the week? That's a great question. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give it to Steph Curry, because if you just listen to the audio of the ESPN highlights from game 4 last night of the Lakers Warriors, and I don't want to get you going here, Kellen, so I'm going to try not to. You would have thought Steph Curry was the worst player in basketball. Like, they were just like, well, that was
If you were watching, wait, from when on?
From ESPN's highlights of the game.
Oh.
Last night.
Yeah, he dropped like 50 points and a triple-double.
I couldn't have told you how many. No, it was just, wow, that was a really bad shot for him to take. He shouldn't have taken that shot. And then, Steph didn't know they had timeouts, and he threw the ball out of bounds at the end. They could have called a timeout and won.
He has made some boneheaded mistakes at the end of games.
So he's the stupidest person.
He's susceptible to that.
I'm just going to try and hopefully, if they do turn this around, you know it was because of me giving him the Player of the Week accolade. So I'm just trying to give him some good vibes going Steph Curry's way. He's my Player of the Week.
How about you? Like that? My Player of the Week is Robert De Niro, because he is having his 7th child. And do you know how old Robert De Niro is?
Old.
79.
Nice.
If he wants to share a beer with that son, he's going to have to live to be 100 years old. So
legal.
Robert De Niro is still doing his thing. I'm sure his lady is, you know, around his age, has to be. So, yeah. Pew, pew, pew.
Wow.
Robert De Niro.
That's a good one. What a man.
Big guy. Let's end it here with fan base of the week. Who do you have?
It's you.
Me? It's you. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you got the Bears are looking up, the Blackhawks are looking up, and the White Sox on paper at the beginning of the year.
Don't do that. Don't even bring up the White Sox.
You're my fan base of the week.
It is funny. Like, I'm having an all-time year fan-wise, and it's because two of my teams were the worst teams in their sports and got the number one pick. So that's awesome for me. Maybe the Bulls can pull it off too and just get a miracle and get Wembanyama. That'd be great. But yeah, that's a great fan base of the week. I love it.
You're welcome.
My fan base of the week is Iowa fans, because it looks like every Iowa athlete is about to get suspended for gambling on sports. It is just so smart of them. I would like to put on record, I do hate gambling in sports. I hate it so much. It is ruining it quickly. The Lions thing was funny. That's funny. Whatever. Iowa, I don't even like them. That's funny too. But it's like, it's obviously becoming a problem, allowing this much sports betting being allowed and so like easily available in all these states too. Yeah. Like it is like, we're going to have another Black Sox scandal in a couple of years. Just wait. There's so much money involved in sports now. And so like a huge percentage now is coming from Vegas. You have two professional teams in Vegas now, and you're about to get a third. Like that's becoming the center of the sports world, and that's not good. That's called Sin City for a reason. It is the epicenter of criminal activity. It is the epicenter of scumbags. And like, I don't want this much. Like, I enjoyed sports before there was all this betting on it, and it's really hurt it for like casual viewers as well. Like, yeah. If you're watching a game on ESPN, they got betting lines on those games. And not to make this like too big of a rant, even though it already is at this point, like Barstool, for example, their target demographic is like 18-year-old males, people who can't even gamble yet, like legally. And they're getting addicted to gambling as soon as they're able to. That's going to cause a lot of problems for that group of people, I think, down the road too. So I really hate gambling in sports, and I'm happy that all these Iowa athletes are about to get punished for it, because don't be a dumbass about it.
We can probably maybe dive. I have thoughts on gambling too, but for the sake of time, we can dive into it.
Hey, maybe we'll talk about it more next week. We'll talk about it more next week.
The NFL side of things, the college kids, I don't care as much. Well, the NFL, it's like you sign a contract, they say don't do it, you're getting paid millions of dollars, you should be able to not gamble on a team facility. Like, I'm just saying, like, if you're getting paid millions of dollars, you should be able to. That one's ridiculous. The college one, like, they aren't really making any money, but still, you also should just be
They are now. That's the thing. Now. Like, you've introduced NIL. A lot of these people are making like pretty good money. Better money than I was making in college, that's for sure.
But I know, but the difference is the people giving them the money aren't saying, we're giving you this money, but you can't gamble. That's the NCAA who's giving The NCAA is giving them no money.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. In the NFL, it's the NFL giving them money saying, hey, don't do hard drugs, don't do PEDs, and don't gamble. Sign on this line, and we'll give you millions of dollars. The car dealership in Iowa does not care if you gamble.
But isn't that kind of like just as bad in a way? Because you're getting suspended. Like you're breaking a written rule. You're getting suspended. And now you can't be the face, or you can't represent this brand that has committed money to you as a college student. Like that's kind of, I think that's bad to the people that are paying you just as much.
I do think it's stupid
behavior either way.
And I don't know. I've never gotten into sports gambling, like beyond just, you know, what you would usually do with friends and stuff, you know, watching games and placing friendly wagers on it and stuff like that. Like, I've never gotten into all the lines part, like none of that stuff. So I don't fully understand it. I also think I'm in the minority of, like, the younger generations are more and more, they grew up in the fantasy era. And you root for players in the, like, fantasy football is where this all really changed. And you root for these things. Like,
yeah,
I still cannot, like, wrap my head around families where the kids root for a different team than the parents. Like, that just, like, I can never understand. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I picked this team because I like the colors. Like, what? How, like, that's,
unless you're like, your parents just didn't even like sports. Yeah.
Then, well, no, that's fine. But like, to me, imagine you being a Packers fan because you're just like, oh yeah, they were winning when they played my dad's team, so I chose that. Like, you would have gotten
killed. I remember,
run over by the,
I remember one time, like one time there was an Illinois IU basketball game, and we invited our friends over. And I was like 4 at the time, like maybe 4 or 5. And like, and they're IU fans. Obviously, my family's Illinois fans. And they, like, I was like really good friends with the kids there. So they convinced me to cheer for IU for like a day.
Yeah.
And I did. And the disdain that my dad felt towards like a toddler, it is unreal. Like, and it was deserved. Like, I should have never been doing that. He was right. He was in the right the whole time. And I would never do anything like that again. But like he would, as soon as like that family leaves, he's going to have a talking to me like, hey, you can't do that. That's just not allowed. Like, you need to put your foot down as a parent at some point.
Yeah. That's one thing that I've noticed that just, I think, contributes to a lot of it. And we can talk about that on another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports. But for this week, everyone, stay unbiased. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with the Maple Leafs maybe getting swept and everything else that's happening in sports. Stay unbiased this week. We will see all of you next time.